Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. It is a Monday. Great to have you in live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Tired of cooking? Change it up. Order Jersey Mike's through their app. No contact delivery, no contact at the door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Wednesday, they feed us, which is even better than Monday. Monday, they pay us. Wednesday, they feed us. It's good to be here. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, congratulations, Joy. And I just got named Barrett Media fifth time in a row or something like that. Talk show of the year, sports talk show.
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Way to go. Way to be great.
I didn't even see that yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, things just keep piling up for us. All right, we do this thing every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong on plenty of both. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
You've been saying this now. The Rams, Stan Kroenke's green lighting all of this. LeBron's in town and winning. The Dodgers are rolling. LA's never had more quality teams. Even the Clippers are good now. What did they do this weekend? They outdueled the Niners, the Colts, the Patriots, reportedly. The reality is, this is Stan Kroenke. Spent about $4 billion more in the stadium than he wanted, and they couldn't put any people in it this year. And he has told the organization, I'm not finishing third and fourth in this market. We're the NFL. We're going to win this market. And this is a real thing inside the building. It's the reality of being in a market with LeBron and being in a market with the Dodgers is that you got to win in Los Angeles. Nobody can afford three season tickets. And they were hyper aggressive, as we've predicted.
Where Colin was right.
Matt Stafford said, I'll go anywhere but New England. Now, I love the Patriots style, but I've said now, over the last year, you take Brady out and the system's not as attractive. I said for years, when Brady leaves, New England will no longer be a topic on our show day in, day out. Now, part of it is this year, Brady's so great, they were so bad. They have no weapons. Belichick tends to have a fairly rigid system. They don't spend on free agents. And this goes to show you that quarterbacks, don't give me this Matt Patricia thing, quarterbacks want weapons. Peyton Manning chose Denver, they had weapons. Brady chose Tampa, they had weapons. Tampa wasn't a winning franchise, they had weapons. Stafford wants to throw to great players. He's been unable to, mostly outside of Calvin Johnson in Detroit, and New England's not attractive when you take out Tom because they don't have anybody else on offense.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I defended Jared Goff for 2-3 years. I thought he was going to be in L.A. forever. I think he's a good kid. I don't think he's needy. I've said I think he reminds me of Matt Ryan, but throws a better deep ball. He won a ton. He got to a Super Bowl. He was 42-20 with Sean McVay. I don't know what happened this year. He lost a lot of confidence. His fumbling got really, really bad. That Dolphins game where Miami had 8 first downs and beat them, they lose to the Jets. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know what it was. It wasn't just a broken hand. They benched him essentially up in Seattle. They benched him for a game. And so I'm wrong on that. I thought he was going to be around for a long time.
Where Colin was right.
The Texans was not going to get filled, I kept saying. It's a bad job. Eric Bieniemy, do not take the job. Reality is David Culley's a nice guy, but you don't hire a 64-year-old, 65-year-old that's never even been a coordinator if he's really the top guy on your list. That he's not. He accepted the job. He wasn't going to get a head coaching job, and this is what he's going to get. Now, you know, who knows what happens with Deshaun Watson? It'll be hard not to win some games, but this now feels like a cult. The stories out of Houston make this a completely undesirable job, and you can have a great quarterback. That's fine. But in the end, you cannot win in this league if 16 out of 16 weeks, you have worse schemes and worse coaching. And Houston now can almost guarantee that.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Sixers are 14-1 when Embiid and Ben Simmons play together. I've never thought it works. Embiid now is playing like the MVP of the league. Simmons always gives you about the same numbers. But Doc Rivers has helped because Tobias Harris used to be a Clipper. And right now, Tobias Harris is playing great basketball. He's averaging 20-plus, and he was always about a 16-17-point-a-game player. So the Doc Rivers thing is working. Embiid and Simmons are working. And you know, I'll say this about Doc Rivers. I should never doubt him. Doc Rivers, that Boston championship team had a lot of egos. Rondo was prickly, and Garnett was the man, and Paul Pierce had been the man, and here comes Ray Allen. He just made it work. There are certain coaches, Joe Torre of the Yankees had this. There's a fatherly kind of a respect. They're like the stepdad that you don't want to tick off, you know? And there's something about Doc Rivers making it work in Philadelphia, 14-1 when Embiid and Simmons play.
Where Colin was right.
Seattle's offense, players don't like it. I've been told that multiple times the last 2 years about Pete Carroll's offense. And last week, DK Metcalf came out and said, we run, pass. We run, pass. Teams figured us out. That is the second Seahawk player who I've heard from that has said they're getting bored. They don't feel their schemes are up to par. And now players are saying it publicly. Russell Wilson's just too nice. He'll say nice things, go Hawks. DK Metcalf, not so nice, brutally honest, called out Seattle.
Where Colin was right.
You cannot win with KD, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. You got to move Kyrie. He's a terrible defensive player. The Brooklyn Nets last night gave up 149 points to Washington. It didn't go to overtime. That was regulation. Last eight games, seven of them, they've given up 123 points or more. Listen, it's not all about talent in this league. KD and Harden, with good supporting players, can win the East. I have no doubt in my mind. But the idea that Kyrie and Harden are going to work, they're both terrible on the defensive end, and everybody is exposing them.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I'm wrong on this one. I always say Aaron Rodgers feels more California cool than Milwaukee or Green Bay. You know, he dates celebrities. He's got all the national commercials. He's the hipster. I'm wrong. A video has surfaced with Aaron Rodgers in the back of a pickup truck with a case of Bud Light and has confirmed it's him. My bad. That is the most Green Bay, Milwaukee, Midwest thing ever. I will never reference California again despite his Malibu house. Aaron has said yes. Yes, this is me. Can you imagine driving around Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in the back of a pickup truck?
I can't say I imagined that visual, no. At the same time, I couldn't have imagined it. It still doesn't actually surprise me. He seems to love Green Bay. He just wraps his arms around everything there.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson now joining us live, brought to you by Michelob Ultra, 95 calories, 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. One of the great football coaches, two-time Super Bowl champ, college football champ of all time, Fox Sports NFL analyst is joining us. You know, I was thinking about this. So a couple years ago when Belichick beat Sean McVay, McVay came out a week later and said, I overcoached. I put too much on our plate. And it's interesting, Jimmy, this is the only time you get 2 weeks. Outside of the opening week of the season, you get 2 weeks here. Is there a danger, go to your experience, where you start to outthink yourself a little bit?
Well, one thing we wanted to do, Colin, is the first week we got all the physical work in. And we got in about 80% of our game plan, but we saved some of the wrinkles for the second week. We didn't want our players to get bored with the game plan. We wanted them to be alert that second week. So we saved 20% of our game plan that second week getting ready for the Super Bowl.
You know, Andy Reid has the best record in the NFL off a bye. And I've always felt the better the coach, the better he is with more time to prepare. Some coaches don't know what they're doing, and you give them 3 weeks, they don't know. Andy Reid off a bye. If you're Bill Belichick, are you sitting there this morning thinking, okay, he's going to throw in stuff we've never seen? Do you think Belichick's thinking that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I believe in Andy Reid with his accolades the way he is after a bye, but I'm also going to throw accolades your way and Joy's way for your recognition. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
But Andy Reid's one of the great coaches of the NFL in history. And like you say, you know, if you give him enough time, he's going to have them ready. And with the talent that they have, it's going to be a heck of a ball game. I'm concerned about the offensive tackles, you know, for Kansas City, because, you know, Tampa, they've got that outside rush. But it should be a great ball game.
So last year, it was you. I thought about this during the break. Before the draft last year, you said Detroit should go get a quarterback, Justin Herbert. You got a lot of heat for that. But it's funny.
I got ripped, Colin. I was on your show. I said, hey, you know, quarterback value. You'd rather have the quarterback like a Justin Herbert, you know, rather than a defensive back. Well, as it turned out, you know, people were ripping me right and left saying, hey, we've got Stafford. We don't need another quarterback. We got other needs. They drafted the defensive back, Okua, and he didn't play that well. How would they look right now with, you know, with the quarterback already with a rookie salary cap, and they could have traded Stafford, you know, to, say, Carolina, and actually got more than what they got from the Rams?
You know, it's interesting, Jimmy. You created a trade chart. People did not trade before you were – I mean, they didn't. The Giants had made one trade ever before you came to Dallas and changed the kind of the paradigm of the league. That trade chart, which shows value, what a picks mean, is still used today. So when I look at the Rams, they gave up 6 picks to get Goff and 3 to get rid of him. I imagine on your trade chart, that's not the way it works. They gave up too much?
Well, the only thing is, see, I always discounted a pick if you had the year. So in essence, that number one is going to probably be a late number one. Since they have the use of the player, it would be a 2. And then the pick, the 1 2 years from now, you know, that's going to be like a 2. Now, Detroit doesn't care because they're not going to win this year anyway. And so those ones will be valuable when they start to win, when they start bringing in players. So you really look at what the Rams gave up. You know, they gave up a decent 2 and a 3. And this year's 3.
Yeah. You know, Deshaun Watson.
And they got rid of a bad contract on top of that.
Yeah, well, they're going to get some cap hit this year, but over time, you're right. It is a bad contract over time. So Deshaun Watson is literally scrubbed his social media. He doesn't even want to talk about the Houston Texans. Jimmy, I know he's good. But if John Gruden called me and gave me Derek Carr, 4 first-round picks, and tight end Darren Waller, I got to be honest with you. There's something that would get me to trade Deshaun Watson, right? Like, would you take the calls?
There's a price on everything, but I would go down every single avenue as far as keeping Watson, because if they don't have Watson, I mean, he's more valuable than Stafford. He's more valuable than what Herschel Walker was to us. Yeah, a franchise quarterback that's young, that's got a decent contract once they get rid of the deferred bonus money. He would be one of the top players in the league, and you don't replace that. Houston got no shot if they don't have Watson.
Yeah, that's interesting. I want to go back to the Super Bowl. You know Bill. You fish with Bill. You spend time with Bill. You go back to these Super Bowls, and they've never scored a touchdown in the first quarter. It's very funny. He very much feels out the game, which right. is an interesting perspective. I grew up watching and idolizing Muhammad Ali. Muhammad was not a guy that came out and knocked people out in the first round. He always felt the fight. He framed the fight. What am I dealing with here? Go back to your Super Bowls. Bill Walsh, he got on top of you. He'd script those plays and get on top of you. How did you view the first quarter of the Super Bowl? You cautious, aggressive? Where'd you go?
It really depended on the opponent. You know, when we look at, like, let's say the NFC Championship game, my first Super Bowl run, the 49ers were a better football team than us. You know, I fully expected they were going to be stacking it up for Emmitt Smith running the football. We came out throwing the ball all over the field, hit a deep one to Alvin Harper, throwing it to Michael Irvin, and then we started running late. You know, whereas against Buffalo in the Super Bowl, you know, I knew they were going to turn the ball over, so I wasn't going to give them a chance. We were going to be very conservative. I told the players the night before the game, we're going to be extremely conservative to start the game off. But we'll be fine. We'll open it up later on. We'll wait until they start turning it over. Then we'll open it up.
How about that?
It just depends on the opponent, Colin.
Yeah. Your gut feeling. I just kind of have a feeling, Jimmy, Kansas City doesn't have to play flawless to win. I think if Tom had a couple of picks, it's not good news. That's my gut feeling this morning. You?
Yeah. If I had to pick the game, and I don't want to pick it, and I think it's a coin toss, I really do, because I think the pass rush, you know, for the Buccaneers could give, you know, Mahomes some problems. But if I had to pick the thing, I'd say Kansas City kicking a field goal in overtime.
All right. Oh, God, I got hope for that. By the way, Michelob Ultra just pre-released a Super Bowl commercial that asks an interesting question. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? All right, Jimmy, two-time Super Bowl champ. Give me the answer on that.
Well, yeah, it really is a cool commercial because it got me to thinking, you know, and obviously I was happy when we won. But then I got to thinking, well, as a coach, you know, I was a lot better, you know, when I was upbeat, when I was positive, when I was happy, when I had my crew around me. And so, you know, we would work all day long. And then at night we might go have a beer together. We bonded. So when I was happy, maybe that's why we won. Now, those good players helped too. And you know, really, with 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, it kept me slim and trim, and that kept me happy.
Of course. You look better, you feel better. Plus, Dave Wannstedt makes everybody happy. You hang around Dave Wannstedt, we're all happier.
Right.
Jimmy
right.
Johnson, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Jimmy, as always, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, Colin, enjoy talking with you, and congratulations again, though you enjoy.
All right, thank you very much. Hey, coming up, nobody in sports may have had a worse few days than a young man we didn't know. It was a press conference you'd like a big redo on. It's hard to watch. It's honestly, I watched it once, I couldn't watch it again. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
All right, Colin. Well, you've been talking a lot about J.J. Watt and, well, this is kind of a theory you have that he might go to the Packers.
Yeah, I think he's a perfect Green Bay Packer. He'd accept a trade. They could use him. They need cap relief. And Green Bay's not outside Aaron Rodgers. Who's Green Bay paying big money to? They're not. They're not paying anybody big money.
Well, J.J. Watt could also be on the trading block. And the team reportedly knows they have to make a decision about his future soon. According to James Palmer, coaches and teammates reportedly believe Watt has played his final game as a member of the Texans.
I'm going to throw this out. So what would Green Bay – again, Green Bay is an organization – they've got a really good team outside of one or two positions. They don't have a lot. I mean, their offensive line set, so they don't have a lot of positions they can draft and start. They could use an edge rusher. J.J. Watt would fill that. I think they could use, in my opinion, another good corner. We saw that against Tampa. But again, I think J.J. Watt is really attractive on the market. Hardworking, at times can be dominant. Little bit of an injury history, but again, you're getting an older J.J. Watt for a good football team that needs an impact rush end.
No, I agree with you. The question with J.J. Watt is majorly his injury issues. He's been on the IR three of the last five seasons.
Yes.
He had back surgery in 2016,
yeah.
Left leg surgery in 2017, and he had pec surgery in 2019, only played eight games. He only has 1 year left on his six-year, $100 million contract extension with no guaranteed money left, so Texans could cut him and save $17.5 million against the cap, and any team trading for Watt would take on his $17.5 salary for only next season.
Yeah.
So it's not like he has a massive salary.
It's a Super Bowl contender that needs at the trading deadline an edge, a rusher.
He is a disruptor.
There's no question. When he's healthy, no question.
So I agree with you, and I'd love to see him finish his career with a contender.
I am not going to be humble if he goes to the Packers.
No, I don't think you should be.
I am going to spend... I will be so obnoxious if he goes to the Green Bay Packers because he's a perfect fit, and I called it, and he went and played football at Wisconsin.
I will encourage that level of obnoxiousness if you're right. So Dan Campbell and the Lions are set up well for the future. They have two first-round picks coming from the Rams and the Stafford trade, but that doesn't mean they don't also plan on winning right away. Campbell said, of course I want to win now, and we'll do whatever we can to win now, but not to sacrifice what we can become long-term. I look at things 2 years out. I don't look at them right now. I know that's crazy in this business, but if you want to have long-term success, something you can sustain, you have to build it properly. You have to have building blocks. You have to have a core.
That's pretty.
That is a much better statement than these
kneecap nonsense. Yeah, God, that almost makes him sound capable.
Yes, this is what I want to hear. I want to hear what the plan is. I don't want to hear talking about just running through walls and biting kneecaps and smiling after getting smacked in the face. That sounds fun. It's delightful. But it's not what's actually going to make the Detroit Lions a functional organization. They do have to build out. And look, I think, like I said earlier, it's much safer to be on the Matthew Stafford Rams side of things than it is to be on the Lions with Goff. I happen to still like Goff, but I don't think I'm going to put my name on that it's going to work there because, we remember what Goff was before he was with McVay.
Yeah, listen, if you want to win an argument at a bar, I'm not encouraging you have to go to one, but if you want to win in Los Angeles, you couldn't. But if you want to win an argument at a bar, the safer bet is Stafford will do much better in L.A.
Right.
than Goff will do in Detroit. And a lot of that is Rams have now Cam Akers. So now they got three capable backs and a star back. Woods and Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, highly graded O-line, and good tight ends. Like, I don't doubt Stafford's going to win. I just don't know, is he going to get to a Super Bowl because Goff did? The idea that he saw that he takes them to another level. Now, Fox bet and the market thinks he is. I think he could. I just want to see it.
Yeah, before the Stafford trade, Fox bet had the Rams at plus 1,800, ninth best in the NFL to win the Super Bowl. After the trade, it went up to six, a plus 1,300.
So that's something.
It is a significant difference.
Yeah.
I also have no idea what to expect from Stafford. I think he's going to be good, but I don't know if he is that guy. Because for 12 years, we've been hearing how talented and amazing he is.
Well, they also roll the pocket, Joy. He's not known as it. He's a pocket quarterback. He can move better than Goff, but he's not. Forget not being Lamar. I don't even know. He's not Darnold is a runaround guy.
I will say selfishly, though, I love how the Rams do business.
So do I.
Oh my God, it's so fun. Like, I don't know if it works. Like, they made it to the Super Bowl, so in my opinion, I can't really knock it. But they are so aggressive. They just are unconscious with their moves.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like, yeah. I think it's great.
Well, I think
there's multiple ways that you can get to a Super Bowl. Now, winning the Super Bowl is another conversation, but McVay and his first Super Bowl up against Belichick, it is what it is. But they do business another way.
Not the old-fashioned way.
No. So LaMelo Ball is making his presence known with the Hornets. He dominated against the Bucks on Saturday night, scoring a career-high 27 points in 31 minutes off the bench.
Surprise.
He also had 9 assists, 5 rebounds, and 4 steals. He knocked down all 9 free throws he attempted, and 2 of his assists set up 3 late three-pointers, which sealed it for the Hornets. 126-114 upset win over Milwaukee. He is averaging 12.2 points, 5.9 rebounds, and 6.1 assists per game in his rookie season, averaging about 25 minutes. I must say, I'm not surprised. I loved LaMelo before the draft. I said that he was going to be able to come in and contribute right away. He's got a lot of international experience. Not a lot, but for his age, a lot of international experience. And he's a big body. I don't like the comparison to Lonzo. He is thicker, taller. I don't know that he's necessarily faster. Lonzo's obviously an incredible passer, but so is LaMelo. So I'm not surprised that I'm seeing this.
I am shocked. I got to be honest with you. I thought it was a lot of flash and a lot of sizzle and no steak. And he's been good.
He also has a lot of confidence, which is very important when you're stepping into the NBA playing against grown men. And I do think that part of that is because he did go overseas. He was in other environments and he was playing against bigger bodies.
No, that's Luka Doncic.
Yes, at a younger age. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
All right. Joy got that one right. Me, not so much. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I think it was a great year in the NFL for coaching candidates. I think it was an awful year for coaching hires. I think Urban Meyer at Jacksonville will work. Brandon Staley with the Chargers, I think, will work. Boy, there's a lot of not going to work, and I'm almost dead sure of it. Nick Sirianni was hired as the Eagles coach. Now, there's been a story for the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks that basically whoever they hired would be a puppet, that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, and Howie Roseman have control. The coach is not going to have much of a say. So that told us, we talked about this, they were not going to get like a, you know, they weren't going to get somebody that had a lot of offers. They weren't going to get Josh McDaniels with the Patriots would rather stay in New England than take that job, right? Now, I'm going to show you the press conference, and I will say this. It's not everything, but it's something. Kevin Stefanski, great presser. McVay, great presser. Andy Reid in Kansas City. Kyle Shanahan, great presser. Adam Gase bombed. Jim Tomsula bombed. Ben McAdoo looked like he was wearing his son's suit. It's something. And it's easier now because it's a Zoom call. You're not even standing in front of the wolves in the Philadelphia media. You're just looking at a screen. And this is what it was like. It wasn't good.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
That's not great. That is not great. There is a reason presidents usually read off the teleprompter and why CEOs and founders often practice their speech before they talk to the hordes of employees. It ain't everything, but first impressions matter. He was nervous. He was anxious. He was completely over his skis. Listen, I was shocked by the number of people on Twitter that said, I don't understand. Oh, does that mean anything? Folks, I'll speak for guys. Date, first 8 minutes, don't trip over the stairs. It matters. It's not everything. Maybe you've got a funny line and you can overcome being a klutz. You go for a job interview. You don't want to sweat in front of the guy. Again, this is a guy that just looked petrified, staring at a computer. Imagine walking into a room with 50 alpha males. You're going to lose half of them. A lot about sports, because let's be honest, none of us really like to be managed. Most of us don't like to be coached. But we buy in if we believe in you. That is really, really hard to believe in. I thought it was a great year for candidates. I thought it was mostly a terrible year of hires. Peter Schrager's our information man. Man, stuff is happening. Hey, listen, Goff got traded Saturday. Deshaun Watson could be in New England in 45 minutes. We don't know. Schrag's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I know none of you guys care about stuff like this, but I want to thank the people at Fox Sports and Fox Sports Radio. Join I1 National Sports Talk Show of the Year. It matters a lot to us because it was voted on by 50-plus executives. And I want to thank the team here that helps us every day. Joy's remarkable. So is Goulet. And the support systems we have across the board are unbelievable. You know what? The bottom line is you need help in life. You can't live on an island. Do it yourself. And we have Joy has been an unbelievable teammate, the best I've ever had. And thank you. You're amazing. And
thank you, Colin.
You make the show easy. All right, Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter. What a crazy weekend. What a nutty weekend. So let's start with this. 10 days ago, 5 days ago, people are like, yeah, you'll never get rid of that Goff contract. Okay, that's over. So how did it go down, Stafford and Goff?
Let's start in Cabo San Lucas, of all places here, Colin. Sean McVay watched the NFC and AFC championship games from Cabo San Lucas at a high-end resort. That's where he was hanging out when all of a sudden the phone starts lighting up and action starts happening. And Sean McVay actually did his business from a villa in Cabo this whole week. He's actually flying back right now as we speak. That's where all this went down. It just shows you how bizarre this season has been. And really, McVay and Goff, it had come to an end. There was nowhere else they could really go unless they started from bare bottom and said, we have to rebuild this thing. And when Stafford made it known to Detroit that he wanted to be available. McVay went to their front office and said, can we at least inquire? Can we see what's going on? And they had a connection. And the connection between Stafford and McVay is one of those deals where it's like relationships are everything. So Sean McVay was a high school quarterback. His main rival was a young man named Chad Hall, who was a high school quarterback at the rival school. Two of them became great friends. They go on their careers. Chad Hall goes to the Air Force Academy, plays a couple of years in the NFL, and is now the coach of the wide receivers for the Buffalo Bills. Just so happens, Chad Hall and Sean McVay are still very good friends. Chad Hall's sister is Kelly Stafford, used to be known as Kelly Hall. So these guys have rolled in the same circles for a long time, and Stafford and McVay have had a great appreciation for each other. McVay said, let's call it up. Let's figure out what happened. Just so happens, Brad Holmes, who's now the GM of the Detroit Lions, was part of the front office of the Rams who drafted Jared Goff, feels very affectionately for Jared Goff, and they wanted to make sure that this did not end in Detroit for Matt Stafford like it ended for Calvin Johnson or Barry Sanders or so many other disgruntled Lions on the way out. And they said, where does Stafford want to go? Stafford made his voice heard. He believed that Los Angeles with McVay would be a great connection. So everybody in this deal seems to come out okay. The only question is Jared Goff happy from going from sunny Los Angeles to now playing in Detroit in a rebuilding situation? He says he's excited to be wanted. He wants to be loved. He will be loved in Detroit by that front office and that coaching staff. But McVay, Stafford, both teams seem to be very happy this morning.
You know, I'm going to give you my theory on it. There's a lot of moments in the year where Goff was over it. But that November 29th game against the 49ers, and that's his rival Kyle Shanahan, and that's their rival, the 49ers, and Nick Mullins beats them, and Goff has fumble issues and pick issues. And after the game, McVay criticized Goff, and we'd never heard that. And I kind of feel like Schrags, it just never got better. It was irreparable. That game, it's one thing to lose to the Niners and Garoppolo, but at home to Nick Mullins, and I just thought, if you went back and looked at the quotes, and I did this morning, it just never, it even went public. I mean, you tell me, did it happen week 5, week 8? Was there a moment, an epiphany?
I think it was a culmination of things. And this isn't fair to Jared Goff. Jared Goff beat the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle with 9 fingers and a broken thumb and played valiantly in that game and then completed 21 of 26 against the Packers in Lambeau and nearly beat Aaron Rodgers. So what one person's perspective is different from another's. To McVay, this is a significant, significant upgrade. I don't think he and Jared Goff had anything left to do, and McVay moved on from him. And once Sean McVay turned on Goff, that was it.
Yeah.
And it was, now he was in aggressive mode. So the game, the pinball, I don't know, but the fact that they had to rely on their defense and play conservative football, knowing the way that Sean McVay calls a game and wants to call a game, and there was no vertical passing, and there were so many turnovers even with that, I think that was the main reason. But let it be known, around the league, Colin, people like Jared Goff. And there were suitors to the Rams who were calling about Jared Goff because he's a 25-year-old quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl, who, by the way, has beaten Russell Wilson in his building in the playoffs and Drew Brees in his building in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he is no slouch. There is a market for Jared Goff, and the Lions, from everything I heard from the Lions side, because I spoke to their side also. It's not just McVay feeding me stuff. I spoke to the Lions side. Jared Goff was a key piece to this deal. They believe in Jared Goff, and at least for the 2 years they got him under contract, he's going to be the guy.
What does this trade mean for Deshaun Watson in Houston?
Yeah, it's funny because everyone immediately says, who's next and what do we do with Watson? I think it's very unrelated. Matt Stafford was a 33-year-old quarterback who had gotten to the end of the line with Detroit and was looking for another home. Deshaun Watson is a transcendental, or is that even a word? I don't know. A transcendent talent, a top 5 quarterback in this league. And whereas Detroit was looking to make things right with Matt Stafford and end that thing on a good note and send him on his way so they can start their rebuild, I am told from very good sources, Houston has no interest in trading Deshaun Watson. So when Deshaun Watson said he requests a trade, it might have to get a little uglier than that for Deshaun Watson to get out of there. He might have to refuse to ever wear that uniform again for that to start happening. Once he makes that comment, it both A, limits Houston's leverage a little bit on this thing, but B, it also will start the floodgates. Trust me, every team has called Houston that you would imagine. Everyone's inquired. Nick Caserio, who's the new GM, and Jack Easterby, who's kind of in that front office. And of course, the owner, they have no interest right now in trading Deshaun Watson. They want to make that thing work. They want to make that right. It's whether Deshaun Watson ever wants to wear that jersey again.
Wow. That's intense. You know, it's funny, Shregs, because I've said this about the NBA. The player can't win. Carmelo Anthony was honest about it in Denver, and we crushed him. Dwight Howard was honest about it in Orlando. He wanted to leave. We crushed him. LeBron did it quickly and left for Miami, and we crushed him. The players can't win. The bottom line, once you went out, the fans bail on you. Let me ask this, though. Obviously, the Jets could work because they could give you Darnold and the two pick and a bunch of picks. I think the Raiders is interesting. Gruden's got more power than anybody in the league because of his contract. Derek Carr, Darren Waller, 5 first-round picks. Is there just a team that you – if I said to you in 2 weeks, Shregs, somebody pulled it off. Is there a team maybe that fits?
I mean, the Jets have the draft capital, and I can tell you that everyone would love to have Deshaun Watson. This is not news. This is – it's whether the other team works. Like, I'll tell you this. Carolina came with a very good offer, and that was for Matt Stafford.
Wow.
Okay, a very good offer. When I'm talking top 10 pick, potential Teddy Bridgewater, another future first-round pick, and it more came down to Stafford wanting to be in Los Angeles than anything. I think the deal that Carolina likely offered was far better from a football standpoint if you're looking at that, unless Detroit really does love Jared Goff more than they would a Teddy Bridgewater or a number 7 overall pick or a number 8 overall pick, which is what they would have if they had made that trade. So Carolina was aggressive in this thing. David Tepper, their owner, just hired a new general manager, but he, Matt Rhule, and Fitterer, who's the new general manager, they're trying to start something new there. They're trying to build it, and they're going to be aggressive. But everyone thinking that the 49ers or the Jets are going to make some crazy trade, I think those teams would definitely like to have a Deshaun Watson conversation. And you think about Kyle Shanahan and how he would use Deshaun Watson, it's next level. I just don't see Houston trading him until Deshaun Watson makes a statement and says, I will never, ever play for this team again.
18 inches of snow in New York City today. Oh. You can't see it, but Schrager, I imagine, is looking out to your right and you're seeing a blizzard. Is that what you're looking at right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at a blizzard, and I'm thinking about Sean McVay doing business from a villa with his fiance in Cabo San Lucas, and I'm feeling a little bit sour about that situation.
Yeah, you know what? It just takes a flight. Get on a flight out here. We'd love to have you, Schrager. It's very nice out in L.A. Good seeing you.
Hey, Colin, congrats on the award. You, Joy Goulet, but I also would shout out guys like Alex Rosenbaum and everybody on the production team who I work with on a day-to-day basis for this show. You've one of the best teams in all of sports television. And you guys deserve it on the radio side as well.
Yeah, we're like the Chiefs. We don't even have Dynasty. To don't even have to play well and dominate.
Does that make me Kelsey or Mahomes?
All right, Shrake, thank you so much. You know, it is interesting. I saw this story. It said, Peter King of NBC Sports reports, Panthers had a great offer. That's what Shrake said. Broncos, Colts, 49ers. So this is the second time the 49ers are out there. Just think about this. Garoppolo just got to a Super Bowl. Out of here. Goff got to one. See ya. It used to be, if you were a young quarterback, you got to a Super Bowl, that was almost a ticket to security. And why is that? I think a lot of it is Shanahan and McVay. Is that the organizations feel like, we cannot waste years here. We got the superstar coach. We got good rosters. Go for it. Also, the NFC West is so good that it's like SEC football. If you can't beat Saban, you got to fire your coach and hope you get another guy. Like, whenever you get into these really intense situations, that I always made this argument for years. Root for your rival. Because if you're Ohio State, root for Michigan to be great except when they play you. Because what you don't want is your rival to be so bad that you can beat them with an average coach and you just let the standard slip. You want Michigan to be great. And you want them to win every game except when you play them, and it forces your administration to hire the best coordinators and spend the most money, because these schools, historically, they get a little fat and happy, they win a few conference titles, and they let things slide. Actually, you want your rivals to win, in college sports especially, to keep the administration on it and honest. All right, hour three, rolling on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.